Welcome, welcome everyone to PRQ Homesteading Expanded. Thank you once again for joining us here on BBS Radio. And should I say us? Because Shane isn't with us today. He's going to be spending some beautiful time with his family, and we're sending him love from our hearts, and we look forward to having him back with us next week. And so I am going pro se solo. And the title of the show today is Pro Se Courtroom Basics, What to Say and How to Say It. But today, before we talk about courtrooms, procedures, or speaking on the record, we begin somewhere far more important. And I've learned a lot of this in the past week, and that is going within and staying connected. There is a place inside of you, me, humanity, all of us, that no courtroom can enter. A place untouched by arguments, untouched by opinions, untouched by outcomes. It is the quiet knowing that we are steady, we are anchored, and we are not defined by a moment in front of a judge. When you stay in your heart, something shifts. Your breath slows. Your words become measured. Your presence becomes clear. You are no longer reacting. You are responding with clarity. And that alone changes the entire field around you. Winning is not always what the world calls winning. Winning is remaining aligned. Winning is keeping your integrity intact. Winning is walking into a room of authority and remembering that your authority over your own spirit has never been up for debate. Your frequency, your calm, your clarity, your grounded presence speaks before your mouth ever opens. People feel it. The room feels it. And when you know, deeply know, that you are standing in truth and preparation, you are not seeking approval. You are simply presenting your position with steadiness. That inner knowing, the quiet confidence, is not arrogance. It's not ego. It is alignment. It is the understanding that fear does not belong in your body, in your mind, when you are prepared and centered. So before any motion is heard, before any objection is raised, before any ruling is spoken, you have already won. It's already done. You have remained in your heart because no external decision can take from you what is anchored within you. And that is the true spirit of who you are. So, today we speak practical steps. First, we know who we are when we walk into any room. Steady, prepared, and grounded. Know your power. Know who you are. Be confident. And remember, love plus freedom equals no fear. All right. And that being said, I would turn this over to Shane, but since he's not here, I'm going to share the call-in lines with you guys today. So for those of you that are local in the United States, feel free to call us at 1-888-627-6008. And of course, out of country, 323-744-4831. You can also email us at the PRQHomestead13@gmail.com with any questions or any topics that you would like us to chat about live here on the radio. So feel free to do so. And if you would like to subscribe to the show, you may do so also. We do have a donation button for those of us or for those of you that don't want to subscribe and want to help out. We use the money that we get from that to help others out. Okay. So a big shout out to the sponsor. As always, we are so grateful for Nana Ojas because as I am gearing up for my MPC bikini competition, and leveling up my fitness game through intense exercise. And boy, howdy, I have really felt the physical effects, especially going through Ascension. It's a whole different navigation for sure. I've been using their nano wellness sprays for skin and immune support. They're made with ultra clean ingredients and designed to absorb instantly at the cellular level. You actually feel the lift, calmer focus, steady energy, better mood, and younger looking skin without fillers and any of the other junk that us girls used to do. And I'm guilty. I used to, not anymore. I'm just rolling with the flow. So, which is crucial when you are pushing your limits for me in training, exercising, and recovery. I love that they stand for real integrity in the supplement and skincare world. No gimmicks, just results you can feel to keep your vessels strong and competition ready. Upgrade your daily wellness ritual. Check them out at nanoojus.net and use our code PRQHOME15 for 15% off your first and all orders. Again, that's 15% off your first and all orders. They have a learn tab for all the scientific information, and there are live testimonials at the website. So check it out. It's a great product. I stand by it, and it's been helping me quite a bit through my training process for sure. I'm getting really excited. We're getting closer and closer to the May 23rd NPC here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm so excited. It is the day of my birthday, so it'll be a definitely fun day. It's going to be a great day. All right, just a quick disclaimer. We love with love and intention to all of you. We share our experiences and our explorations on this radio show. Remember, it's not a substitute for expert advice or on health or finances, law, or life's deeper path. So consult the pro says, with an open heart. All right, so I want to start today's show off with some clips from the PRQ Homesteading March 8th of 2025. It's been almost a year since our friend exited the building. And I think of him often, I feel him often. And going through the journey that I've been on, I've been listening to a couple of his past audios from the Homestead Show. And I'm going to start with this one first because it kind of resonates with my upcoming adventure with going into the courtroom. Yes, I am going to the courtroom. So we're going to start with clip one, and it's about the aliens and the pop propaganda. So go ahead and get her going there, BBS.
Anyway, the reason I want to look at the opportunity to evaluate the propaganda machine, aliens, we'll call them, is because they're in your personal and professional life too. And we take it for granted that that person's having a bad day or a good day, a bad day, a good day. But when you see aliens, they don't want to help you. They just want to stay in the mix with you, is what I'm doing my best to explain. So here's a couple ways you can test people by just scanning and looking at them and feeling from your heart. And obviously, this is for some of the newer folks that are coming in. Thank you for the legacy listeners for bearing with me. So the newer people don't necessarily understand that you're living with a lot of aliens here that are in physical bodies and pretending to represent consciousness, the light, but they're just animating themselves with mind energy. It's very tricky to explain with the English language, but let me show you a couple examples here. If you do query news and politics, The ones that are the funnest, I love that word. I just invented it. you can see when you're working to solve problems, that's what the Senate was intended to be. Then why is everything so adversarial? There's your first clue that someone has an agenda to be adversarial when the service provider, the Senate, just wants to fight. So that's a real, or just be smarter, be in opposition. You can't have a conversation with a dark being because they're using their mind and they know everything. And so what they like to do is just talk, talk, talk. So here's some aliens again that I've said before is, so you go ahead and look at a Bernie Sanders and you say, how could that guy be an alien? He talks the talk and he look, yeah, right. Okay. So when you look at these individuals.
Okay. So the purpose of sharing that with everybody is because when I say stay in your heart and be in the present here and now, when we're navigating, as Q said, that these aliens are in our personal and professional life, that is a fact. And it's not that we're inventing them or making them up in our head. A lot of people will say, I don't believe in aliens. And I don't really think about them that much, but we do got to remember that 1.1 million people on the earth and the rest were, as our friend said, clones, NPCs, etc. So when we go into the courtrooms, are they aliens? Are they, you know, because they're government? I don't know. But I do know that I'm learning the game and I'm learning how to play it. And therefore, by knowing what they do and then coming from my heart, how powerful is that? I'm just sharing that with everyone. So we're going to go into the next clip. And go ahead and get that going, BBS. Thank you.
Look at the names. You'll notice that their names are engineered, so they'll have a catchphrase. They'll be common household names, so that you keep introducing them into your reality. And so, if you quit working with them, they have nowhere to go. They don't exist anymore. And especially if you don't use their systems. Taxes, etc. So now you're seeing that now if you start going the opposite side of the fence and you look at Defense Secretary Mr. Hegseth, you'll see that person can, I can tell you the psionic abilities of your light beings that are in these positions know exactly who they're dealing with, and that's aliens.
Okay, so that being said, okay, working with them using their system. In my particular situation, this is kind of where I'm at. I'm in the system. And yes, am I working with them? Yes, I am. But when you learn the system and you understand how it works and you stick to the facts and you have your documentation and you know exactly what you need to say, how to say it, and do not get emotional when you are in front of these people, okay? Because that's where you may fail. All right? That's their arena. No emotions. Okay? So just wanted to share that one, and we'll go into the third one. Playing with the aliens, as long as you are knowledgeable in how to do that. So be true to yourself so you can play with them. And Q says it right here. So go ahead and get that clip going, BBS.
The reason I'm pointing this out is because they're playing politics to play with the aliens. So if we look at Elizabeth Warren, look how they act. I thought they were helpers and service providers for everything. When I talk and say it over again, Chuck Schumer, that is an alien. They're trying. President Zelensky of Ukraine is an alien. Look how they try and talk over everyone. Look how they control the outcomes. Now, what if I told you that that's one of the capitals of alien creation systems? Dark energy. Dark energy is my goal, is what an alien would tell you. If I can get something in that human body, I'll do it. That's all they got to keep up with us.
Okay. So what he's talking about is if you're going to be in their circle, it's you can play with them. Again, it doesn't have to be a negative experience. And I'm finding out that maybe not all these people that I'm dealing with are, you know, in such a like an alien form. They could be, they could not be. but they could also just be just like me and they're just doing their job. So you have to look at it from both perspectives. Okay, and then we have one last clip here we're going to play. Leaving our beliefs, that is the solution. Okay, so we'll go ahead and gear that one up and then we'll get into the guts of the program. Go ahead, BBS.
When you look at a Bobby Kennedy, you look at a Don Trump, you look at me, you look at Swerdlow, what do we have to lose but to fight with you? But we know fighting causes more fighting. So how do we defend yourself? What do the Kennedys have to lose? They all die. What do the Trumps have to lose? Their lives are dust. Everywhere they go, they're going to be good, bad, or judged or otherwise. So where do I go? Where is anyone going to believe Stuart Swerdlow's story, my story? We would most likely err on the side, I have to be true to myself. And if I just, if we just all left many of these propaganda machines, left these beliefs, we know that's the solution.
Yes, he is so right about that. And I this past week I did a lot of that. I stayed away from my phone. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I just wanted to go within. And I had my 341 meeting on Monday, and I'll share that with you guys. But I kind of want to talk a little about even when you are in your heart and you're grounded, you have to remember that the court system is like a game. And as Q says, you can play if you wish. And it's not that I wish, but because of my particular situation and how I got here, I am participating. And that being said, how to master defending yourself in the court through the heart while navigating the game. A court will favor more on your side with admissibility. Okay, so documentation. So when you really start looking into courtroom cases such as mine, you begin to see how often the game is played through language. All right. A lot of times, it is not that your question is invalid, it is that you do not want to answer it directly. They will say something does not apply or try to narrow the issue down to one tiny word, one label, one technical phrase, just to pull the attention away from the real substance of what is happening. Okay. That is what I mean when I talk about semantics in a courtroom. Semantics, most lawyers and judges participate with semantics in a courtroom. It's the legal practice of arguing over precise meaning of words, phrases, or languages in laws, contracts, testimony, or evidence to influence the case outcome. It is using language as a shield, not to clarify truth, but oh, I don't like that word, but so I'm going to say and to avoid it. And when you are dealing with debt, contracts, or collection, that kind of wordplay can be used to confuse people, intimidate people, and make them feel like they have no right to question anything. So the truth is, if somebody is trying to collect from you, profit from you, or enforce a claim against you, you have every right to ask questions. You have the right to ask who really holds the claim, who is benefiting, who has authority, and whether that obligation has already been transferred, monetized, or otherwise handled in ways that are not being fully disclosed. That does not mean you are trying to be the creditor. That does not mean you are making some wild argument. It simply means that you are refusing to be exploited through confusion, presumption, and legal theater. And that is important because too many people are made to feel powerless the moment legal language enters the room. Another thing people need to understand, however you want to say that word, is that the courtroom is not just about facts. It's also about procedure, power, and control. Sometimes the goal is not to prove you wrong. Sometimes the goal is to keep you from speaking clearly, enough to expose what is really going on. That is why your documentation matters. And I learned that in the last couple of weeks in regard to my 341. Talk about paperwork. Holy cow. Not my highest excitement for sure. So that is why the record matters, okay? This is why you stay calm, stay grounded, and move with clarity instead of emotion. Keep the emotions out of the courtroom. Because even if someone tries to brush past your evidence, once you put it in writing, once you state your position clearly, once you preserve the record, you create a trail that cannot be erased so easily. You are no longer just reacting. You are establishing your position with intention. So, for me and my personal journey, this is bigger than just law. This is about knowing my voice, knowing my rights, and not letting people use complex language to box me in or out of my own defense. So learn the language. We've been told that by Custer. Learn the language, learn the UCC codes, know how to defend. You do not have to out-talk them, out-title them, or play their game better than they do. What matters is that you stay rooted in truth, ask the right questions, document everything, and refuse to surrender your mind just because somebody speaks in legal jargon. But it also is going to be beneficial if you understand the terms and what they're saying when you're in court, okay? When you understand that, the whole energy changes. You stop walking into the room feeling defeated, and you start showing up with presence, awareness, and the understanding that you have every right to challenge what does not feel lawful, what does not feel fair, or what is not fully disclosed. Court is not a debate. It's not a conversation, a hierarchy. It is a hierarchy and procedure that determines who gets listened to. So just to give you an idea of what the judge's duties are, the judge, all he wants to know is what has been admitted, what the timelines were, the tone, wants to know about the sanctions and any discretions. Okay, documentation. Make sure you have your exhibits A, B, C, D, whatever it may be. I'm taking a sip of my nettle tea. I'm gonna stop here for a minute. I was drinking fennel tea. I accidentally bought fennel tea instead of nettle tea. And I'm like, okay, how did I do that? Anyway, it's a great taste. I love nettle tea. All right, so getting back to topic, the clerk, what their job is to file, to schedule, access, and keep the procedures flowing. And then there, of course, is the attorneys and, of course, the parties, which would be me. So what you might want to say sometimes to the judge, you could say, I came here to get clarity. And you want to be respectful when you say that to the judge. Judges will ask you if you are prepared, or something like, do you understand the process or procedure that is about to take place, okay? Do not go into a whole story. Keep it short and sweet, okay? Don't babble. So judicial discretion. You want to have your evidence, continuances, sanctions. In my upcoming adversary case that I'm going to be filing, we are going to be asking for sanctions. I'm not sure what that is, but I will share it with you once I go down that journey. You have your rulings, you have credibility assessments. So you want to be concise and short with answers. Say the facts, know the laws in regard to what your issue is when addressing the courts. Write your arguments down, cite rules, not opinions. Keep your tone calm, and of course, always breathe. I do that no matter what. So I am going pro se. That means, pro se is a legal term. In Latin, it stands for oneself, meaning to represent yourself in court without hiring or using an attorney. And I will say, having an attorney will make you feel more secure, I guess. But in my what we know about the law in these days and times, I don't really trust the attorneys because I kind of feel that they work with and maybe that's not a good perception on my end. But I did reach out to attorney, and when I spoke with him, I just didn't feel his true authentic self. And I get that a lot from attorneys. And so by going pro se, you learn so much, and you're hands on hands with what is happening Your situation is in your control. You now know what is going on. It's not just handing papers to this attorney and turning this in and that. You actually dive into the procedure and you learn it. And it was not something that I was looking forward to do because I do not like to do paperwork. Ugh. I do like to research. I just don't like to do paperwork, especially when it's pages long. So some of the mistakes of a pro se, okay, that have gone in. Now, I have been told by my trustee that most pro ses don't make it through the bankruptcy process. And I don't know why that would be. So interesting. So don't overexplain. Arguing facts instead of law. Stick to the law. Stick to, if you got UCC code, stick to all that. Just have your stuff in line and know exactly why you're there. And know that the one line that you have is what's going to close the case and you're going to come out on top because you know for a fact that this was wrong on their part. And how could the judge see it any other way? And if he does see it another way, then you got to go, okay, is this a good judge or not? We've all seen that happen in the Supreme Court. So be clear and concise on all. Judges evaluate your credibility, such as your consistency with documentation. Now, if you don't know how to talk the language, have your documents in front of you because I'll tell you what, when I had my 341 meeting this week, doing my own documents and understanding what I was actually doing. It turned out really great. I did them all myself. I submitted them and I did get a case status report back and it was just full of stuff. And I'm like, oh no, now what? So I uploaded it into my friend ChatGPT and I said, okay, what's the problem here? We did everything. I did research a lot of the things that I learned so that I knew what I was doing. And of course, without me knowing all the stuff that was on there and what it meant, I would be like just going, oh my gosh, what now what? Now what? But after putting it into ChatGPT and we went through each step, everything was fine. It was just normal stuff. And I had my 341 meeting and it went pretty well. So be clear and concise, as I said, on all. Judges evaluate your credibility, such as your consistency with documentation. I know I'm repeating myself, but clarity of the knowledge you are sharing with the judge. Really know it. And how can you not know it when you're hands on hands consistently working with your own situation? So much better than handing it over to a lawyer. Although you don't probably have as much stress. But I was more stressed out because I didn't know what I was really doing. But now that I do understand it much better, it's not so bad. And I've felt a shift. There was a definite shift change in me this week, maybe last week, because I don't have that anxiety or stress or fear or anything anymore because I know, I don't just believe or think, I know the power within and that we are very powerful. And just because we go into a courtroom with judges and lawyers, we should never feel like we're less because we are the same. And that's where a lot of us go into places like that and we think, oh my goodness, how am I gonna do this? These people are educated. They're just look at them as other human beings, just like us. They're no different. And know your stuff. It's pretty simple. So federal rules of evidence. FRE 611, Section 611. Judges control the presentation. Less talk is more powerful. Letting the record speak, preserving the record of what is in writing and what is properly objected to. So I want to kind of talk about the federal courts and what the federal rules of evidence mean. It's also known as FRE. And the federal courts, like U.S. District Court, they follow the federal rules of evidence, the same rules everywhere in the USA. Now, Michigan courts, state courts in Muskegon, where I live, districts and circuit, etc., follow the Michigan rules of evidence, MRE, created by the Michigan Supreme Court. So the MRE are based on and almost identical to the FRE. which is once again the federal rules of evidence, update it for style but not substance. Okay, so there's a difference. Now, I didn't get to dive into that, which I find very interesting that Michigan has their own set of MREs, Michigan Rules of Evidence. Very interesting. So definitely we'll dive into that. I just found out about that. So relevant evidence is admissible unless the Constitution, a statute, or the rules say otherwise. Irrelevant evidence is out. The only tiny difference is Michigan's version also lists the Michigan Constitution. Now, does Michigan have their own constitution? And is it different than the Constitution? I don't know that either, but we'll find out. It doesn't change how you use the rule in court. So the short version is that it works exactly the same whether your case is federal or Michigan state. Okay? So that was interesting to find out. And again, anybody out there that wants to call in that's having any type of situation like this, please feel free to share. You don't have to share everything, but it's also good to hear from others that are experiencing this type of situation in regard to their homestead. So, first of all, yes, there was no foreclosure sale. That would be your case. Is one of the strongest arguments and evidence you can use in Michigan. Foreclosure or eviction case. Now, I have found out some information in regard to my particular situation that may benefit me when I do go into the courtroom. So, it is highly relevant under MRE 401 and 402, which is once again the federal rule 402, why it matters under Michigan law. Most Michigan foreclosures are by advertisement, not judicial. The entire process requires a sheriff sale. All right. And that can be found at MCL 600-3201, ET section to finish and transfer title. No sale equals foreclosure never completed. No title passes to the bank or the buyer. Remember that, folks, and really check out what happened at that sale. And did it really happen? I'll be right with you, Kim. I see you. I'll be there in a minute. Okay, in an eviction, the summary procedure proceedings in district court, the plaintiff can only evict under MCL 600.5714(1) if the property was sold by virtue of a mortgage. After the sale and redemption period, no sale equals they have no legal right to kick you out. And that is just plain English. All right, so the fact makes the plaintiff's entire claim less probable or impossible. The judge must let you bring it in unless another rule blocks it. Okay, so we're going to take a little break and I'm going to bring Kim on. She shared some information with me before the show started, ma'am. Let's get her on. Hi, Kim.
Yes. Good afternoon. Hi, I actually go by Kimberly, if that's okay.
Well, it says Kim, I'm sorry.
Not a
Great.
problem. Not a problem
All
at
right, Kimberly,
all. All
welcome
right.
to PRQ. What you got, darling?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I have really enjoyed listening to what you've been bringing out and the study of it. I know that you and I are kind of running parallel paths here, and as a reminder, I've shared with you all before that I have three unique private properties that I've gone through and accepted the land patent and perfected the grant, have the full chain of title for all and so forth. And my county's foreclosing upon me, and I basically have a matter of weeks, really days, to figure this out. You and I have taken different paths. I'm an American state national and am fully declared and so forth. And I actually am not actually in that jurisdiction that you speak of when you go into these courts. All of these courts are corporations. And under the Clearfield Doctrine, that basically makes them creatures, and they're in the commercial and contract law. I'm an American woman. I live on the land and soil. I've reconveyed everything, and I've moved my properties onto the land and soil and done that with the land patenting process. Unfortunately, they're still coming to try to take these properties from me, and really, it's not right. And so I got ejected from the court for not getting in the well, is what the judge wanted me to do, and commit and consent to their jurisdiction. And I am an American woman that is in the American Commonwealth. And because of that, I'm not subject to UCC codes, rules, or regulations. I've actually gone so far to prove all of the contracts out in this, including going to the copyright holders of all of the UCC laws, codes, statutes, and so forth, not even laws, rules, regulations, statutes, and so on. And they've acquiesced. I actually have said that I have no contract with them and I'm not subject to their laws because I live in the private. And so I'm not subject to have to go into these courts that are basically running racket on us. None of us are supposed to be paying taxes. All of our stuff is prepaid. It says so in our constitution, and in our constitutional laws and things that go on. And it's really criminal what's going on right now. They're going to steal my property and they won't even let me go ahead and give my evidence. They closed the township office when I tried to give my evidence for the show cause hearing, which I was denied being able to have. I have it
Right.
on record and I have it on video, and I had to go and put it into the clerk's office. And I have gone ahead and 1099-A'd them and basically done a corrected record. And at this point, they're still coming for me. They're still coming to steal my land that I own outright. And I want to know, where is my military? Where are the men and the women that swore to protect the American people? Where are you? Are you
Okay.
going to come and stand here? Because my sheriff will not talk to me about this, and he's going to sell my property because
Well,
he
have you
cannot.
thought about filing a criminal complaint against the sheriff? You can go to a website and do that, just an FYI.
Well, I've been trying to be peaceful about this. I've moved so far in this process over 2 years of them trying to, or 20 years, excuse me, of trying to steal my property. In an act of retaliation for becoming American and refusing a smart meter, I'm approaching 1,000 days without my water utility, and they're trying to charge me for water they don't deliver me. So
Okay.
I have enormous crimes against humanity going on here, and they are running rampant over me. The days after I filed my land patent, they basically ran a military court on me, and they commandeered the lands back by awarding a power company access to my lands when there are no easements.
Okay,
There are
so
none. And so,
I Kimberly, I hate to interrupt you, but you sent me this this document here, US Supreme Court, United States versus Stone 69 US 2 Wall. And it says, Justice Greer, a patent is the highest evidence of title and is conclusive as against the government and all coming under junior patents by, I'm trying to read this with my eyesight, or titles until it is set aside or annulled by some judicial tribunal. The patent is but evidence of a grant, and the officer who issues it acts ministerially and not judicially. Did I read that correctly?
you did. You
Okay.
did. This is the
So
law.
these are
Patent is just.
actual these are actual case laws, right?
Yes, these are laws for that's been on the books since the 1800s. These
Okay,
are our
so
rights. We
yeah,
have the
so
highest title if we.
all right, and then the latest one here is from 1930. Now, I wish we could find some case laws that are a little bit more present day. So, I really thank you so much for sending
No, but
that
this
because this
original common law. But this is the original common law, and that's actually what we source back to, because all
yeah.
the rest of this has basically been infiltration by inland piracy. It's basically these are corporations that are acting as governments. They have no sovereign delegation of authority to act upon we men and women. If we men and women stand and we take back these rights, these are the laws our founders wrote for us. This is what got passed for us to claim, but we're not claiming our rights. You have claimed your land under land patent. I've claimed all three of mine. It's being completely ignored.
Yeah.
Why? This is the law of the land. We have the law to show you, but they won't look at it. They throw it out. They don't want to do it. Why? Because they lose money that way. And they're taxing us illegally. You can look at the Oregon Supreme Court, Redfield versus Fisher, 35 Oregon 180 292P 813 295P 461 of 1930. The individual, unlike a corporation, cannot be taxed for the mere privilege of existing. The corporation is an artificial entity which owes its existence and charter powers to the state. But the individual's right to live and own property are natural rights for the enjoyment of which an excise cannot be imposed. You know what? I called the Department of Interior. I wrote them. I asked for my apportionment of the national debt to pay it off. In the basis that got left for why they property taxed us, And you know what? They didn't write back. We have no contract. I owe nothing. I am not eligible for taxing. None of us are, but we have to claim it.
Okay,
They captured us all,
here's my
and they
question.
made us
So
U.S. citizens and corporations. If you don't claim your American status back, you will not have the status and standing on the land and soil to
okay,
be an appropriate
Kimberly,
recipient of the current delegation.
can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, so what they're saying at the bottom of what you just read is that all government is incorporated, but we know that's not true
Their DMV
anymore.
number. That is true. Go look up the DMV numbers. You can go look up your county DMV numbers, your township DMV numbers, and you can see they're all incorporated. If you want to get a subscription to DMV, you can go and get who the principals are for each one of them.
Okay, but that's what their stuff say, but we know that that has changed. I'm pretty sure that has changed. And
They are all corporations. They are all, we brought this out on the Michigan Assembly on February 4th last year. We have the registration for the United States of America Corporation in London. You can go look at the Michigan State Assembly replay, and you can see we put all the evidence up and showed it. Many other assemblies across the United States right now are going ahead and proving all of this stuff out. All of these governments are they're incorporated.
well,
They
you
are.
know, and I think that's where the biggest and I don't want to say battle, but I think that's where our biggest challenges are going to be with the state and local government, which we are finding out. And I am, in my personal situation, have put the patent to the side, and I'm going through their system by their legal jargon and going to prove my case that way, because of what
I would
has been
encourage men and
discovered.
women to realize that law, it tells you what the jurisdictions we live on earth are: land, air, and water. The
Right.
water jurisdiction is all cracked and dead law and dead entities, not meaning it badly. It's just they are unalive. And so
Right.
they work on contract. It's relatively maritime and admiralty law. The
Yeah,
law of the
we're
air and
all
space
very familiar with
is
that, Kimberly. Kimberly, darling, we are all very familiar with that, trust me.
because it doesn't seem like it when people don't recognize that you are giving consent to a jurisdiction that you're not subject to. And that's what
Well,
I'm just trying to
that's
inform.
why I believe that taking a different route, just in my situation, your situation's
Oh,
completely
yes.
different.
I love watching what you're doing. It's fabulous. And for people who are citizens, they have to look at it that way because you are subject to that law.
Yep. And thank you
And
so
it's
much.
wonderful. It's a
Thank
great service that you're doing. Thank you.
you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. And you also, and thank you so much for calling in. You're awesome. Thank you.
I appreciate it. God bless everybody. Love you guys. Thanks, Robin, for your service.
All
Thank
right,
you, dear.
darling.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so yeah, Kimberly, when she sent me that information, I realized the dates here are from like the 1930s, 1800s, but it would be nice to find some case law with present day. If anybody has any out there, please get in touch with us. We would love to see some present day. And maybe we're going to make our own. So, okay, so here's a quick courtroom example you can use right now. So, say the plaintiff shows up with a deed or a claim that was foreclosed upon. So you stand by saying, "Objection, Your Honor. Under MRE 401 and 402, this evidence is irrelevant. No share of sale ever occurred, so the foreclosure was never completed, and the plaintiff has no title or right to possession, excuse me." Okay, so that's how you want to talk when you're in there. You need to know this stuff and then have your documentation right in front of you. Have the evidence, but also submit it before you go into court. Make sure that it is submitted because they can throw it out and not use it very easily. Okay, so I want to give you a couple other courtroom scenarios, and we'll use myself. Miss Robin, you may explain your objection. So this would be me. Thank you, Your Honor. I am appearing today pro se and respectfully asking the court to review the validity of the alleged foreclosure sale of my home. My position is simple. No lawful foreclosure sale actually occurred, and therefore the transfer of the property and the deed issued afterward are invalid. First, Your Honor, I was physically present at the scheduled sheriff's auction, which in my case I was. And I actually have a video of it, some evidence there. During that time, no bids were called, No bidding took place, and no purchaser was announced. And that, all three of those happened in my situation. Under Michigan foreclosure law, a sale required an actual public auction where a bid is accepted by the sheriff or the auctioneer. Okay? And then, second, I go on to say, I later discovered that the sheriff's deed was prepared approximately 10 days before the alleged auction date, and it already listed the purchaser. This raises serious concerns because a deed cannot properly exist before a sale occurs. And third, Your Honor, because there was no legitimate auction and no competitive bidding process, the statutory requirements for foreclosure by advertisement were not satisfied. And so, for those reasons, Your Honor, I respectfully request that the court, number one, require the foreclosing party to produce proof that a lawful auction occurred, including sheriff's return, bid records, and confirmation of sale. Number two, Your Honor, review the timing of the deed preparation in relation to the alleged auction date. And number three, Your Honor, determine whether the foreclosure complied with Michigan statutory foreclosure procedures. Until those issues are clarified, and I could say, I believe, I say, I know, because we like to know, right? The record shows that the essential element of a foreclosure sale and an actual auction with an accepted bid has not been demonstrated. Thank you, Your Honor. And so, what do you think of that? Not bad, huh? I like that. I'm going to get good at this. Okay, so that was an example. Key phrase, here's some key phrases for pro se litigants often use, okay? Your Honor, respectfully. You always want to approach the judge respectfully. And then, for the record, when you have documentation, for the record, I'm submitting Exhibit A, I'm submitting Exhibit B. All right, so that's another that you want to know. My understanding of the facts is, or the evidence that I have shown, or the evidence shows. And then you can also say, I respectfully request the court require proof of whatever it may be that you're requesting. And the issue before the court is, all right, so there's so much that you can learn. And then some of the strategies in court, what law requires, there's three things only: what the law requires, what actually happened, and where they do not match. Okay, so here's a short version. Your Honor, Michigan law requires a public auction where a bid is accepted. I intended the scheduled sale and no bidding occurred. Additionally, the sheriff's deed appears to have been prepared before the alleged sale date. I am asking the court to require proof that a lawful auction actually occurred. All right. So, right now, in my particular case, the attorneys for the creditor are pushing back on my stay, and they are pushing hard. So I recently had a conversation with their legal representation, and I shared with him that I have a video of the auction because I do, and he wanted me to send it to him, but we were kind of chit-chatting back and forth of I'll give you this if you share with me, something else that I requested. So I don't want to get into it on the radio, but it's been a very interesting week. That's all I can say. I feel like what's that lady's name? Erin Brockovich. I've always wanted to be her. Anyway, so one very powerful pro se line judges often pay attention when you say something like this: Your Honor, I am not asking the court to accept my word. I am simply asking the court to require the foreclosing party to produce the evidence that the statute requires. Okay, so stick to the legal jargon. Stick to your documentation. Know exactly what it is that you want to happen in this proceeding. So, yeah, okay, that's it on the I just wanted to give some examples on how to speak when you're in front of the ill judge. All right, what else do we got here? Okay, so talking, I wanted to share, we got a few minutes. I was talking about my 341 meeting. I got all the documents together. I went through everything, all the corrections, and I worked on it for quite a few days and got it done, went down, submitted it to the b bankruptcy court. And like I said earlier, I did get a case status update, and there was all kinds of stuff on there. And I was like, oh, not again. But I overreacted. So the key is to stay calm. Don't think that something is happening when it's not. And there is a still a situation with my 2024 taxes, which I completed also last week. Still waiting on that. They accepted the taxes, so we're waiting on that outcome because the IRS did tell the courts that I owe quite a large sum of money, which is not true at all. It was an estimation on their part, but the court is running with it because they still have not seen my transcripts. Now, I did give them transcripts of proof that it was submitted and there is a refund coming, so you would think that that would be plenty for them, but they're holding their guns. They want to see the actual the whole taxes, which I'm not going to give to them. The transcript is going to be good enough for them. And then, of course, I do got to complete my 2025s, which is coming up. So here's some of the things you want to say when you're in front of the trustee. So if you don't remember how to answer the question, here's a safe response. I don't recall the exact number at that moment, but it should be reflected in the schedules that I filed. Okay, the schedules are the documents that you turn into them to create your plan, your expenses, your money coming in, going out, etc. And if you are unsure, you say, to the best of my knowledge, the information is accurate as listed on the schedules. Always stick to your schedules and always say, to the best of my knowledge, because you might make a mistake. I did find out that there was a checking account at my where my car loan is, and I'm like, huh? I don't have a checking account there. It's just my car loan. But I had to open up a $5 account for the loan, something for making payments there or something like that, and I completely forgot about it. So I missed it on the on one of the schedules, and they asked me to put it on there, which is completed, and I will take it down there on Monday. But just little things like that, okay? So that's why you always say, to the best of my knowledge. If you need to verify something, you say, I would need to review my records to give an exact answer. Don't just throw an answer out there if you're not sure. If the trustee asks about something unexpected, your response will be, I'm not certain about that right now, but I can provide documentation if the trustee would like. All right. If you need clarification, which I did several times because I hardly could hear what she was saying through the computer screen, and I did say, could you please clarify the question so I can answer a little more accurately? And then if you truly do not know the answer, just say, I don't know the answer to that at this time. Okay, just simple than that. Be straight and honest, and be as accurate as possible. And always know that you are just as equal as they are. You're on the same playing level. Don't feel like you're lesser. Don't feel like you're in trouble. Don't feel like it, because for some reason, when we go into courts and places of authority, we get that impression that, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? And if you go in there and you know what you're going to say and you know exactly the documentation and everything is right there in front of you, you're going to go through this with ease. And you know how to say, talk to the judge, okay? Always be respectful and don't get emotional. You know, I for one have used to be, not anymore. I used to be very emotional. But something has definitely shifted in me because I don't know if any of you guys know, his name is Darius J. Wright. I've been watching him on YouTube, and he is been having out-of-body experiences since he was a very young child. Getting another sip of nettle tea. And he talks about how he's been to the other side and where he can look into this reality. And when you hear that and you know that all of us can do that, we all can do that. That's how powerful we are. And that this reality that we're in, these are experiences that we chose to have. And whether we want to participate in the court system or we don't want to participate in it, I look at it now as kind of an adventure. As before, a couple months ago, I was feeling like the world was ending. And that was emotion. That was getting into my head and telling myself stories. And when you go back to going within and being in your heart center, you got it. You're going to be good every time. So anybody that is experiencing any of this, feel free to come forth and share your information. And always know that no matter what the outcome is, you're always going to be, winning because whatever the outcome is, it's another journey for you. It's another experience. And if you look at it that way and always stay in the here and now, that's really helped me a lot, staying in the here and now. I don't worry about stuff coming up. I don't worry about things in the past. I really enjoy creating things. And to be honest with you, I've been learning about the law, and that's been quite entertaining for me, to be honest with you. Didn't think I would enjoy it, but it's been, it's not so bad. All right, so we are at the end of the show, folks. Love you all so very much. I'm glad that you joined me. Shane will be back. My cowboy will be back next week, and hope he's having a good time with the family. So good day to all you beautiful souls. As we close today's episode of PRQ Homesteading Expanded, remember this: when you stand in your truth, even in a courtroom, you are never standing alone. Being pro se, being solo, being a loner simply means you are speaking for yourself from your own heart and your own knowing. Keyword, folks, knowing. Defending your home, your land, your peace does not have to come from fear. Remember, love plus freedom equals, in big letters, no fear. When love leads the way, fear has no place to live, and that is for damn sure. So truth is calm, steady, and clear. So wherever you are today, stand tall, breathe deep, and remember, freedom begins the moment fear ends. From myself and from Shane, I know he's thinking about all of you. We are sending you love, courage, and freedom. Until next time, keep your heart strong and your home filled with lots of love and light. Love you all. Have a beautiful rest of your day. Enjoy this Saturday. Thank you.